Blog Talk Radio.
You are now listening to Kings of Non Sequitur. Any topic, any subject, anything goes. With your hosts, Jay and Dre. Good evening. Welcome in. You indeed have Kings of Non Sequitur, the off-season version of In Much Less Detail, the podcast, here with you live on a Wednesday night, June the 29th, 2022. I'm Dre. My co-host Jay, hopefully, will be joining us shortly. We were supposed to have our show last night. Jay had some issues. His son had an injury situation, and I don't know if that's why Jay is delayed tonight, but hopefully everything is okay with his son. I texted with Jay earlier today, and he indicated that his son was, his foot was beat up, but they were suspecting maybe broken bones and broken toes, but it's not that serious, it would look like. So hopefully everything worked out, and hopefully Jay will be joining us in a moment. I decided to, there's Jay now, and I hope my microphone is working, by the way, because usually that's our test, is before the show, but he wasn't there. Jay, can you hear me?
Yes, I can. Can you hear me?
I can. You're a little underwater sounding, though.
Oh, okay. Let me.
Does it sound better now?
Slightly, but it's fine.
Okay.
Yeah,
I'm on the little garbled, or
yeah, just a little. You're on the same mic and everything.
Yeah, let me try one more thing.
Okay.
Okay, how am I sounding now?
About the same. You don't sound bad, so that's fine.
Okay. Yeah, it's my usual mic now.
Okay.
I'm on my headset mic, so.
Do I sound the same?
Yeah, you sound good.
Okay. We'll roll with it. Yeah, you don't sound bad. You sound a little more muffled than normal, but that's fine.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I switched one of my settings, so that should be okay now.
So how is everything with your son? I was commenting about that. Hopefully
that wasn't what was
keeping you off the show.
He's all right.
Okay.
He's a tough little kid, so.
Yeah.
He made it through okay. Last night was a little challenging. I would not have been able to do the show last night because my wife wasn't feeling good, so I got left with bedtime duty, and he was up crying and, you know, kept coming out of his room because his foot hurt because he smashed his foot into the bottom of the stairs.
Yeah.
Kept coming out of his room. Just, you know, I get it hurts, but there's nothing you can do about toes. You can't go to the doctor. I mean, they're not going to do nothing.
Yeah, just check for x-rays or whatever, but.
Yeah. Well, even if you break toes, they don't do anything. They just send you home. So. He's okay.
That's good. That's good to hear.
Ready to go. And yeah, I see this. You only got us down for an hour, so it's like after the shows that we've been doing lately, it's like that seems so short.
It's an hour live, yeah. If you want to hear the whole show, of course, you have to get us on our podcast version. Go to blogtalkradio.com/inmuchlessdetail where you're listening right now, and you have to come back tomorrow to get the whole version. You can't hear. We have an hour or so. After the show is over, or maybe more than an hour, depending on what Blog Talk Radio lets us get away with. But we definitely have an hour live that we're scheduled right now to get in our hard truths, this concept that I came up with. Just because, you know, we're sitting here, it's the middle of summer, you know, baseball is going on and not too much to talk about there. You know, it is what it is. Our fantasy teams are not doing so hot. And
no, not yet. Keep holding out hope.
Hey, there's a second half to come. So, you know, the big news or whatever on the summer is, of course, the, you know, all the uproar that happened over Roe v. Wade being overturned. And we're not covering that tonight because we just did that. We did a whole show about that.
I believe the verdict was it's complicated.
That's my opinion anyway. It's not complicated according to certain people, but that's exactly what we were talking about. It's such a hot button topic. It's going to get the passions inflamed. And for those who have a hard and fast opinion about it, they're letting it be known over and over again. And it's something that we really got into in depth. In our last show about the summer of making women hot. And again, if you go to our archives or subscribe to the show on iTunes, just search for In Much Less Detail the podcast, or search on any of your favorite podcasting apps. You will hear all of our shows, as many as you want, going back almost 10 years. We're coming up on our 10-year anniversary of starting this podcast, and that was our last show was all about the abortion debate, so all of our opinions about that are there. This one is going to be different. It's going to be new. I decided, you know, I'm looking around all the graduation advice online, all the commencement ceremonies, and everybody going through all the pomp and circumstance, and we never sat down and done something like this where we just say, you know what, look. We're both older people. We're in our mid-40s. We've been through a lot. Some people have been through more than us at this age, but a lot of people have not been through the stuff that we've been through. A lot of people have not seen the things that we've seen. We've got a lot of experience in a lot of different areas. We should dispense some of that advice. We love talking anyway. We fill up. No matter how much time I put on the show, like you said, we could put 2 hours and fill that up and go another hour after that. So we have no shortage of things to talk about, but this is going to be things to sort of give advice about. These are the things that we've learned in our life, hard truths, hard facts, however you want to call it. I don't know how many you got written down. I don't know how many we'll get to. But, okay.
No,
it was all in your head.
Come on, it's me. Right.
So, I got a few written down. I got three written down, and as you were telling me when we were texting about this earlier this week, it almost doesn't matter what we get into because we're going to spin off into something. That's exactly why we're the kings of non sequitur. We can start talking about something, and it'll just go in a whole nother direction, and we have no idea where it's going, but. That's basically my concept and my thought process behind this is, hey, let's give some of these kids out there a little advice, a little bit of what they have to look forward to as they become adults. We're as qualified to give life advice as Taylor Swift or some of these other celebrity people that are tapped to give commencement speeches and ceremonies. And I think ours is probably a little more rooted in reality because these celebrities grow up in a world that really don't, is not realistic. It's not something, there's so many things they come across and they deal with that no one can relate to. We're very relatable. We haven't done anything, I don't think, too crazy or wild, but we've been through real life. We've been through real life things, and we can give some advice based on that about what's going on out there. So that's my concept. And did you want to hit lead off in this concept that I have about giving out some hard truths?
No, this is your baby. So I'm kind of more curious to see like where you go and then follow it. So this is your baby.
Yeah, this is my idea. This goes up in flames. This is all on
me.
That's
right. It's all on you. No pressure.
it's a lot of things that I, you know, pop in my head that this is 10 years of doing the podcast, and there's so many of these things that I wrote down that I, there's so many shows that go off the air, and I go, God, I wish I would have said that. I wish, because, you know, we do veer off in a whole lot of different topics, and These are a lot of things that I really wanted to get out there anyway, and I had to cap myself. I got three things written down, and I had to stop because I could have done more. But I got three sort of wide-ranging topics, giving out some hard truths about things that I've learned about life. And I'm not going to do all three in a row. Number one, my voice would give out, I'm sure. My voice might give out anyway. And number two, I don't want to monopolize. I want to get to you. So we will switch off. However many you have.
This is something, if we were doing our, in much less detail, if we were doing our football show, this is what we would call a corollary.
Okay.
Right? I mean, this is like a rule or something that we've discovered through experience. We don't always go to the stats for these. So, you know, sometimes it's just a feel thing. And, you know, you see it enough, and that's what you're talking about, like the years of experience or words of advice or, you know, bear whispering, right?
Right.
So it'd be interesting to see how this goes.
I got no statistics. This is stat-free tonight. I'm usually the stat guy on our show, but this is all about just life and what I've gone through and what Jay's gone through and what we've learned. And so we're going to get started right now with my first hard factor truth, and there's several of them within the one, as you will hear. Right off the bat, just people. Just what about people? Have we learned, or have I learned? And my thoughts on just people in general. The very first, most important thing that you have to know about people in general.
Just people. Any people.
People in general. Any people. Believe who they are when they tell you. People will let you know who they really are through their words and actions. And I think a lot of times we just don't want to believe it. We just, give them the benefit of the doubt. They didn't really mean to. We just talked a little bit about this on Twitter, Jay. The Illinois politician, the lady who said that the abortion ban was a victory for white life,
which makes no sense, because if that was the case, wouldn't they be dropping all these abortion clinics in like white neighborhoods? And that's not the way they've done things.
Oh no, not at all.
So first of all, she showed us who she is. Second, she's dumb.
Right.
So, but that goes hand in hand with making a statement like that.
Exactly. But my point, that's all definitely very true. But my point was the fact that her people ran immediately to say that she misspoke. She meant to say it was a victory for right to life. And she just said white life as a mistake.
Right.
Really?
Yeah, it's.
Really?
Sure. She meant to say something else. I mean, that's not the way it was written on the card. Okay.
Really? You meant to say right to life, and you said
I don't know how you get from A to B.
How you get from right to life to white?
Man, that's like, was it like right when Russia invaded Ukraine and Biden starts talking about regime change in Russia? And I mean, within 10 minutes, the spin machine was, it's not what he meant.
He meant something completely different. He just said regime change, but that's not what he was really talking about.
That's not what
really
meant. That's not what he really meant. He meant to say something else. Okay.
People will tell you who they really are. You just have to listen, and you have to believe it the first time.
Oh, man. There's so many. People are so sycophantic, you know. This is obviously not one person or one party or one political affiliation or anything. People just see what they want to see, right? It doesn't matter if you're wearing the rose-colored glasses or the blue-tinted glasses. It doesn't matter. Your side can do no wrong, and the other side is Hitler.
Yeah, the politics, relationships. He's not really that. He's not a bad guy. He only hits me when he gets drunk or angry. He doesn't really mean that. People are trying to tell you who they are. Believe them the first time.
I kind of thought this was the way you were going, so I thought of a great way to explain this. But it requires some knowledge of something I'm not sure you have any knowledge of. But for anybody who was around in the 90s, remembers the X-Files, right?
I'm familiar with the show.
So the main character, like, right, he was the guy who was going after the aliens. And it's funny because he's got a poster on his wall that it's got a UFO on it, and it says, "I want to believe." Now take off that alien ship and put Trump or Biden or Fauci or your spouse. Put anything that you want to up there, right? Because when you make a statement like that, that means that you're starting with the end and then looking for the reasons to fill in to support what you already believe. The confirmation bias, right? And that's what all these people have.
I like so that.
I want to believe, and that's what they're doing. They want to believe. They don't want to listen to the counter argument or common sense. They just want to believe. And it's funny that I was thinking about that. I was trying to find like a good meme to post back while we were in that discussion. Because you posted what you posted. I immediately posted not so much the counter argument, but the argument that this is what you're going to get until people start running on something that we're not in town.
Sure.
In politics. Which just shows, again, how bankrupt it is. But they want to believe. Just put whatever picture you want up on that wall. Start from the end of the outcome, and then just fill in your heart with everything. Because you're going to believe in it no matter what.
Put up the blue-eyed, long-haired Jesus Christ, which is completely different from what the Bible actually describes Jesus Christ. But you want to believe that he's blue-eyed and blonde-haired.
You are correct.
Oh, there's so many. I got...
Yeah, but take that to anything that we talk about, whether it's, like you said, politics, relationship, just life, sports, right?
Oh, yeah.
They want to believe, man. Like, I put my fantasy team up on there. I want to believe. They're really not this bad. And then they just go out night, and they're bad.
Sports is a whole animal within itself. About people believing in their teams, in that laundry, whatever the color of the laundry is that's got your heartstrings from when you were a kid or whatever, that team, that laundry, it can do no wrong.
Politics any different? That's devolved more into sports entertainment than anything else.
Unfortunately, it has. Going back to when I first heard political talk radio in the 90s, and I'm like, who would want to listen to this shit? This is awful. But that's where it grew from, basically, is sports talk and political talk and AM radio. Just all it is let's gin up the feelings and let's inflame people's passions and let's try to capitalize on that and make some money. And that's basically all it is.
Hang on a second. I think you've got a visitor to the show.
Uh-oh. Hi. How you been doing this summer?
You talking?
Good.
Talking, one word at a time. That's fine. So what you been doing? What you been doing to have fun?
Playing softball, going swimming, practicing softball. I have to go to summer learning.
Oh. That's okay. I went to summer school myself. You enjoying softball? You getting good at it?
My softball season's over.
Oh, okay. You have fun? You think you're good at softball?
Meh.
Yeah. Well, you keep working at it, and you'll get better and better. It's a lot of fun.
Mm-hmm.
Your dad and your mom played a lot of softball when they were younger. I'm sure they can tell you all about it. Bye.
I got it. You remember that show we did, Trini, when you guys were on with me?
Yeah.
Yeah, you got to talk. You got to say more than, It doesn't make for good radio, Trini.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, good night.
It's just, I didn't mean to do it again.
Good
night.
Good night. All right, I'm back.
She's getting great at trolling already. She's great at trolling. She gave you the on purpose there.
Mm-hmm. She didn't even realize she was doing it, or so she says.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure she did. But yeah, people, I tell you, that's the number one lesson to me is people who try to tell you who they really are, no matter what they try to convince you otherwise, if you see it, you got to believe it. You got to go with your gut. You got to realize who these people are when they say it. I got so many other examples that I've thought of that I wrote down. Straight people who say being gay is a lifestyle choice, I think they're trying to tell you something, because I tell you what, I ain't made no choice. I did not choose whether to be gay or straight. Being straight is just who I am. I did not try to choose to go to sleep with the Madonna Like a Virgin extended disco record next to me in bed. I just did, because that's how much I wanted Madonna at that age. I did not choose to act like Tom and Jerry running around chasing a mouse when a pretty lady came to the house when I was a child. That's just how I reacted, because it was a pretty lady, and pretty ladies made me feel funny and made me act strange and do things, because that's who I am. I didn't choose that. People who say it's a choice, you got to tell me when you made that choice. That's the first thing you got to do.
What day did you wake up and go, yeah, today's the day?
You know, I was considering, did they take a hat out like they're going to college and trying to choose? I was thinking gay or straight or bisexual. I finally made the decision. It came to me overnight. It's really something I decided. I'm going to go straight. And you put the hat on and everybody cheers. Yeah!
But, you know, Eddie Gay, so 10 years ago. We're way past that now.
Or trans or whatever the case may be. But trust me, those people aren't choosing that. That's not something you wake up and choose to do. That's who they are. The woman that drove me crazy. And drove me to Mendel Institution, Carrie.
Yeah,
the heartbreaker, Carrie. When she told me on our first date, when I went through this long, I still remember this, I will never forget this, we're sitting there in the cold, we're watching women's football, because that's just the place in Kenosha we decided to happen to meet up. And I'm trying to get to know her, and she's stonewalling me and not really selling me anything. And I do this long lead up. So what do you do for fun? What do you, when you're not working, when you finally get some free time, what do you do? And I've never before, or I've never afterwards, heard anybody answer the question of what is your hobbies or what do you do for fun with nothing.
Oh,
what the fuck? Everybody does something in their spare time.
Well,
I've never heard anyone say I do nothing for hobbies.
That wasn't entirely the truth. I mean, we don't have to get into the whole details of the story, but knowing how the end of that story came out, I don't think she was being entirely truthful.
That's my point. I knew something was fucked up on the first date, and I kept going anyway.
Because
I knew she was fucked up on the first date.
To believe.
I wanted to believe that she was really liking me and digging me and into me, and that she wasn't actually having a whole nother lifestyle or a whole nother personality on the side, which it turned out she was. People are trying to tell you something. When you meet someone and they say, I do nothing for hobbies, I do nothing in my spare time, I've never heard
nothing.
That before in my life.
Man,
she was trying
hard
to tell me something.
It's harder to do nothing than it is to do so. That's hard work.
Everyone does, but Jay, everyone, I don't care if it's reading, knitting, everyone does something.
Try it someday to see her side. Just get up on a day off and you got nothing planned. and just try to just do nothing.
I basically did nothing on my days off, but there are things that you do when you're doing nothing. Watch TV, listen
that's not
to the radio, surf the internet.
Yeah, that's not nothing.
So, she was doing something.
I'm pretty sure that does not qualify as nothing.
She was definitely doing something. All those Second Amendment people and the MAGA people who want to roll everything back, I think they're telling you something. When you talk about honor the vision of the founding fathers who had slaves and said blacks were three-fifths of a person and women couldn't vote and women couldn't drive and women couldn't own property, those people, that's who you want to honor? Those, they're telling you something when they say that we need to honor the Constitution and honor the amendments and roll everything back to, Jim Crow and slavery. Believe me, those people, if there was a vote, if there was an anonymous vote to reinstate slavery, those people would vote yes. They're trying to tell you that they're going to roll everything back to when things were even less equal than they are now. They're trying to tell you. Listen, when people are trying to tell you, Clarence Thomas wants to roll back everything except interracial marriage. Interesting he didn't bring that up in his opinion when he talked about all these things that we need to revisit and roll back after Roe. He didn't bring that one up.
Which makes no sense to me. You know, just shows you how, first of all, we think we're so advanced, right? When you think about all of these advancements in human history and how accelerated everything has become, we still live on a planet that has actual real slavery. Like what you are describing still exists in other countries. Where you get your hands chopped off if you steal something, or you get murdered if you have an abortion. Right?
Mm-hmm. Or rape.
Right. Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's your fault.
Right.
You're dead.
How dare you get raped?
Yeah. What were you thinking?
Right.
Yeah. I mean, so, we're not like the ass end of the world. Not yet. Not quite yet. We're trying, but we're not there yet.
Working on it.
We are working on it. Made me lose my train of thought, but, all those... No, it's okay. We're the kings of non sequitur. With all those, it's all the horrible things and that are going on, it's also crazy right now. I honestly don't think either, maybe you do believe, I don't believe we're going to have slavery again in this country. But
we're not going to have it, but I honestly think if there was an anonymous vote, the percentage would be a lot higher than many would think.
I mean, higher than I think would be low single digits still, but who knows?
Mm, I
don't know where
I think it'd be higher than that.
I don't know because there's nobody in this world of ours, in this country, has experienced slavery at all in this country. So I don't know how there could be people yearning to go back to it, something they don't know. But that's okay. I'm sure there are, we know that there are some unintelligent people out there who, and everybody gets an equal vote, and that might think about that. But no, the whole interracial marriage thing, that one doesn't make sense to me as far as being taken away or why, how it ever had to be illegal, because, by their so quote unquote definition, it's marriage between a man and a woman. It shouldn't matter what race you are, it's a man and a woman. That's the way, that's what they are trying. I think they're going more after gay marriage than they're going after interracial marriage.
No, but I'm saying they're trying to roll everything back to before all this progress was made.
Yeah.
And right in the middle of all that progress was Loving versus the people versus Loving back in the 60s, when interracial marriage was finally recognized to be something that could be legal. It was right in the middle of all the other civil rights, Brown versus Board of Education, and all that. The other things that they want to roll back, because that's also part of it, is they want to make sure that we can segregate our kids again, because mixing whites and blacks in the classroom is obviously something that needs to be changed as well. All of those things, the gay marriage, it's all in the same ball as far as I'm concerned. I don't know why they would want to roll back some but not others, and I really think they want to roll them all back. And I think the only reason Clarence Thomas didn't say that he also wanted to roll back interracial marriage is because he just happens to be in an interracial marriage.
I don't know. I don't know. That to me just – it makes, you know, there's things that just make no sense.
It doesn't make sense to roll back gay marriage to me either.
No,
two adults getting married shouldn't
affect
anybody.
Opinion. This is not my opinion. This is what I'm saying is if that's what they're trying to – and again, we can go back 20 years. We don't even have to go back that far, and both sides on the political spectrum were against that. Right, I mean, all these people in power, or who've been in power, but you can go back and find sound bites to Clinton, Obama, Biden, all these people being against that. But again, you're allowed to change. Great, right? I think people change more with the wind than they actually change in their heart, but that's politics.
Yeah, but the people that
talked about that with the abortion debate. One side latches onto an issue, the other side has to latch onto the other side, and it doesn't matter who's quote unquote right or wrong.
It's just amazing the people that got into power in the Supreme Court are now making all of these decisions and declarations that all these all this progress has to be rolled back. And I don't think it's most of the country, but I still think it's a much higher percentage than there should be that believe in all of that as well, that all that progress needs to be. So all that damn progress. Ugh.
Yeah. And you can get into the semantics of what happened with what the Supreme Court did. They did not ban abortion. They did not strike it down and say, you know, abortion is illegal. They said, no, nope. They kicked it out and said, it's not our say. They kicked it back to the states, and then you just immediately look at the map and go where it's legal and where it won't be. And then there's, you know, it's up to Congress. The other two separate but equal forms of our government, they said, you guys fix this. You guys decide this. We're not saying this is a forever thing, but yeah, everybody's in it. You know, we talked about that on the last show.
Yep. Covered that whole thing.
So, yes, but for people who are out there who are not the most informed, who are just like, no, they banned. No, the Supreme Court did not ban anything. They basically kicked it back and said, this isn't our decision. So we're putting it back in the people whose decision that we think it is, but they did not ban abortion. There are people who think that. There are people who say that. That's not actually what happened. Whether we agree with it or not, I'm just explaining that that's the gist of what was said. That they did. That's what happened. Because, you know, California, New York, Illinois, there's still states. It exists, you know, and then there's states that are working hard to turn it into a total ban. You know, again, it's not going to work. What really is it's up to the legislative branch of our government to pass something, but we cue the laughter.
The branches that's controlled by the Democrats, got the Senate, yes. They got the House, they got the presidency.
Their only response is give us more power. We don't have enough power. We don't control all three branches of Congress right now. We need more power. Okay.
Go vote and give us money.
Yeah. Yeah. And then the Republicans, if they get control, and then you have a divided Congress, or you have a president that's up against a Republican Senate and a Republican House. Oh, come on. We know where this is going. It's going to go nowhere.
Well, it's going as hard as one side is making it go, because they're
with
just
all
going
the, ball with all the fervor. I think the Supreme Court is probably, for what all the politicians are complaining about, and what Biden's complaining about, because that's your executive branch, what they're all complaining about, they're probably sending thank you cards and bouquets of flowers to the Supreme Court. That, hey, thanks for making everybody not notice what a shitty job we're doing right now. Thank God for you guys.
I mean, that they can reverse that shitty job. They can not do a shitty job and get off their ass and do what needs to be done. To reverse it, they just don't, because they need that power.
Because honestly,
they need to hold on to that power.
the Congress and the Senate passed a bill making it illegal, in all 50 states, and they have actual rules and terms, and you got to follow this, and it's legal past a certain point, and it's not. They actually did that, like we talked about on the last Supreme Court. It's untouchable.
That would be nice if they did it.
Yes. So, I get it. But
so what's your
thinking logically?
Yeah.
We're not allowed
what's
to
your
do that
hard,
anymore.
What's your hard factor truth that you wanted to get to here?
Being that I work in the service industry and I deal with the public, I know people and I see people, I'll give you an easy one. Driving down the street, right? And you're bombarded. What are you bombarded with when you're driving in your car, unfortunately? Advertising, right?
The billboards, yeah.
On the bus, on the bench, on the billboard. I'm going to go out here and make a bold claim, but it's a hard truth. Anybody can challenge me on this. Anybody's face that you see on a billboard, park bench, or on the side of a bus is an asshole. Just follow me. Take your time. What do you see up there? Injured? Come on. Come on. Right? It's ambulance chasers, right?
Yep.
It's like banking people with cheesy smiles, politicians. Yeah. You drive by. I'm not talking about like a sports team that puts up a couple pictures of their players. I'm talking about somebody who pays for advertising and puts their own face up on a billboard.
Right.
An asshole. More likely than not. So next time you drive to work, right? Play this game.
Yep.
Look at all those ads that you see, because I'm sure I know you see them on the 240, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, I've driven that highway. It's billboard. You know, I mean, I see them when I'm driving to work, driving into town. There's people, there's bankers, there's mortgage people, there's realtors. I'm like, man, I know these assholes.
Okay.
It's one of those little life things I've just noticed in my years, especially living in smaller areas, you know, that you go out there, you got to make yourself known, you're going to do those things, and then you actually interact with the people like that, and you find out that, man, anybody who's willing to pay money to put their own picture on a billboard, they're in love with them, right? They love me some me.
They love them some them.
They love them some them. Is that T.O.?
Yeah. I see.
And I'm not talking about paid advertising like the hospital puts up the picture of a child and a mother. Something like that. Those are paid, like basically models, right?
Oh, come on. Go all the way. That 3-month-old baby in St. Jude's Hospital?
Asshole. No, you're not going to the hospital looking to see them.
Yeah.
In general, that's one of the little things I've learned, just driving back and forth to work and, you know, even living in Chicago, driving back and forth, you look up these billboards. Man, we were on vacation. We were driving down to, it's funny because we were driving down to Cincinnati over spring break, and you get into each metropolitan area. Man, every town's got its own bunch of assholes. You know, you just start seeing these signs and think, oh, and they start showing up all over the place. Oh, there's some, I forget, I think it was around Indianapolis. Must have been 10, 12 different forms of advertising I saw just on the interstate for some guy. His pictures is plastered all over the thing. Like, man, guy's an asshole. So, That's a hard truth.
Yeah, I'm thinking about it now. Like the morning zoo DJ got his big face up there. Yeah, mm-hmm. Listen to me. I'm Jackie. And then, yeah, probably a huge asshole. Yeah. Yeah, I'm with you. I follow.
So play that game with yourself.
Okay.
it'll make it more fun for you too. But you'll get a few chuckles tomorrow on your way into work.
Certainly.
You'll be driving, you'll be looking up at that billboard going, oh, yeah, Carrick's an asshole.
All right, I'm definitely with you on that one.
It's not just guys, it's the ladies too.
I don't see too many ladies up there unless it's a political season and someone's running for office.
Around here, it's typically banking and realty.
Ah.
Yeah. And I'm married to a banker, so I got to be careful.
Watch it.
Got to be careful. Watch out. She comes home and she's like, oh, hon, I'm up on this billboard out on the highway now. Like, oh, no. Do you know what this means?
Didn't know you were married to an asshole, did you?
Married to an asshole. been close. Been close. She's been on commercials and stuff, you know. Been in the calendar, but not quite. Not quite the. But. Here's what I will defend. She didn't pay for that advertising.
Right, I was about to say, she's not going to ever be the one to pay to put her face up there.
Over their money, put their picture all over the place.
The plaster, their kisser up to, they think that people driving in need to see their mug every morning when they go to work.
And does that, I don't know, does that work?
I know it has to, because
if
when you mention it, I've...
something you've seen on a billboard?
Well, not me, but... when I think about billboards and people, when I think about these billboards on 240 that you're talking about, the first few names that pop up in my mind are attorneys. And I know their names. I'm not going to mention them on the air because I'm not giving them the free publicity. But that's the whole point is to get their name and their face in people's minds, whether they respect them or not, doesn't matter. Just you got to know me in order to consider using me. I think that's the whole point. Because I'm not going to use some lawyer I've never heard of because I've never heard of him. But if I do ever need an attorney, which I never have, thank goodness, that's the whole point. Publicity. Any publicity is good publicity. That's why they do it.
Right. And there may come a time where you actually need that person to be an asshole.
Which is, another reason why I've never had to get an attorney, because I haven't had the need to find anyone to go be an asshole for me, because I'm enough of an asshole myself. I don't really need anyone to do that for me. So.
You don't need an advocate to go out and asshole it up for you.
I don't need someone to be the bad guy. I am the bad guy. So.
Oh.
But
oh.
No.
Oh, all right. You are the danger.
That's right. Hey, and I'm going to prove it with my next point about my next hard fact, next hard truth. All right. Ready to make some people really mad? Here we go. Women. Whew. Love you. Love women. Straight man, love women. Always love women. Of course, complicated relationship with women, just like most men, I think. Women. I love you. Walking contradictions. I'm sorry. You just are. If men acted the way women say they actually want men to act, all women would be lesbians within like 3 weeks. You don't actually want men to act like that. You say you want respect and flowers and being nice and being courteous and holding doors open and all that shit. That's not what you actually want, because, and I've got my experience with this. I got friends' experience. I got your experience, Jay. I don't know how much you want to talk about it, but women say they want the nice guys, and then who do they wind up with? The assholes.
Oh, yeah.
Speaking of assholes.
Yeah, I mean, that's not even our truth. That's just accepted fact.
But not if you listen to these ladies. We want to be treated with dignity and respect.
Nah.
And we want to, no, you don't, because that's not who you're fucking. That's not who you're fucking.
Yeah, I always had a saying, because I always thought it was, I always thought that the nice guys finish last. That's actually a bullshit phrase. Right? I actually came up with it and said, nice guys finish second. Well, they'll get you to the, you get to the game, but you'll just lose. Right?
You'll never, win.
You'll get to the Super Bowl, you'll get to the World Series, but you will never win.
Right. Yeah, no, I'm definitely with you there.
Right, so you're always in the game. You're in the game. That's the hard part. See, if you were just out of the game, you wouldn't care.
Yeah, but the game is rigged. The game is crooked because you're the nice guy that gets you into the game, but then you can never actually win the game because she's always giving all the credit and the precedent to the asshole and giving him all the ways to get into her heart. You're just stuck in the friend zone. If you're the nice guy and you're out there, she looks at you. Yeah, I really love talking to you. Because you're the nice guy. You understand.
When I'm going through all this garbage. You're the actual emotional support.
Right. You actually listen to all this garbage that I'm going through with this asshole over here. And you understand why it's tearing me apart and why it's killing me inside to have to deal with this guy. Now, thank you for all of that. Now I'm going to go take my panties off and go back with the guy that's tormenting me and giving me all this trouble from him.
That's not even that odd of a take.
I don't think it is. I'm sure they would think otherwise.
Oh, yeah, no, yeah, of course. I want to believe. it is time immemorial. I mean, this is there's nothing new here.
All these truths, they all mix together. They all.
But that's what you got to learn that one the hard way, right?
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. Because, guys, we grow up thinking if we just do the right thing, if we just take care of the woman and be nice and treat her with respect, everything's going to work out in the end. We might have our disagreements. We might have relationship issues. But if we just give the benefit of the doubt and bend over backwards and let her be right even when she's wrong and just treat her with kindness and respect, everything will work out in the end. No, fellas, that's not how it goes. If I had a nickel for every time I read a story about a relationship or heard about a relationship in amongst people in my real life that goes something along the lines of, I didn't like him when I first met him, but he wouldn't leave me alone. He was an asshole. He was this. He was that. He would not stop bothering me until I went to dinner with him. Now we've been married 15 years with 3 kids.
Yeah.
If I had a nickel for every time, it feels like I'd have a million nickels for every time I heard that
song. But
they don't.
That
nice
goes
guys.
Back to,
they don't.
That goes back to your first truth about people they show you who they are.
Believe who they are when they first show you.
Yes.
That's who they are.
And that gal or that guy, because it goes both ways sometimes, has that poster up on the wall with that person's face. And you know what it says on that poster?
I want to believe.
Hey, you're catching on.
They don't want the actual nice guys. What they want is the ability to control whether you're being a nice guy or being an asshole. Because I went out with this one woman that, oh, my God.
Well, it's about the changing of someone or thinking that you've accomplished something or something. Like, it's no different than, like, the white knight, right? Is always going, oh, I've got to rescue the damsel in distress, right?
Yeah. Oh.
These guys who just do nothing but go after these toxic women and, they're just trying to white knight and, you put up with all the BS. And, that's why the demotivational poster that are words to live by that I always reference that says the only common thing in all your failed relationships is you.
Indeed.
It is prophetic, right?
It is. There was a woman I went out with, a former coworker. God, this is 25 years ago. I don't think I ever told you about this one, but she kept initiating intimacy and then shutting it down. She kept she invited me into her bed several times. I spent several nights at her apartment. She spent one night at my place. We never had sex because she loved starting it up and then shutting it down because she just needed that control. She didn't actually want me to be the guy with her, intimately. She just wanted somebody that she could control. She There was one night where she actually went through the trouble of lifting her whatever nightgown, whatever you want to call it, all the way up and letting me, you know, play with her for a little while, for maybe 30 seconds, and then actually said the words, "That's enough," and put her clothes back down and turned over and went back to sleep. And I'm like, really?
Damn.
And the next day I got home and I'd left her a voicemail back when people left voicemails. This is how long ago this is. And I said, "You don't want a boyfriend. You want a robot. You want someone you can turn on and turn off," because that goes into the whole thing. They don't actually want nice guys. They don't actually want guys that they just want guys who are going to do what they want them to do at that moment when they want them to do it. And they'll take the nice guy and they'll try to piss him off and make him the bad guy. They'll take the bad guy and try to tame him and make him the nice guy. They just want to be in control. And in that same family, here's a bonus fact for you about women. Another hard fact, man, you talk about just, you don't know what they wanted, what they want out of a relationship. They just want the ability to control. And they also want to be the opposite of who they are in and out of the other bedroom. And I don't know if you want to comment on this in your experience, but I'll tell you just straight up with my experiences. The more submissive out of the bedroom, the more nice or submissive their personality is outside the bedroom, the more dominant they have to be in the bedroom, and vice versa. The more ball busting, aggressive, angry woman that she is outside the bedroom, the more submissive, and you got to like work your ass off in the bedroom to try to get anything out of her. It's like, God damn, how do you get this ball busting outside and then this demure inside where you have to work so hard to try to get anything out of them? I swear every woman I've ever been with, if they're sweet outside the bedroom, they're dominant and nasty in the bedroom. You know who the freakiest, sexiest women that I've ever met in my life by a mile, and it never fails? School teachers. I don't know what.
I love that. Librarians?
Seriously, every school teacher I've ever known that I was able to get on an intimate level with, freaky as hell in the bedroom. It's just that walking contradiction that women are.
That just
makes
you feel weird because these are people around kids.
Yeah, some of the teachers that I've known in my life, like if they let that side out around the kids, ooh, boy.
Uh-oh, someone's getting a call from the school district. Well, I'll tell you what, speaking of women.
Yeah.
This brings me to the other one that I have here. Mine are generally short, because, you know, yours have some broad implications. Mine have broad implications, too, in a loose sense. Get it? You can still use that word.
Well, you just did.
Nobody knows what I'm even saying anymore. Wait, what?
Hey!
Learned this one early, like early 20s, when it comes to women. Never, and I mean never, never trust a woman who walks with her arms crossed as her default position. Ever. I'm talking ever. It's okay to cross your arms, but if your default is to be that tight, right, and that wound up, and you're just walking, that's your casual walking stance, steer clear. Steer way clear. And you're laughing, so I don't know if you're like, hey, he's onto something here, or you just think that's hilarious.
No. Because I've known women who walk with their arms crossed, and yes, they are the most uptight, angry. I'm looking right in my mind at the women that I've known who their default position is walking everywhere they go with their arms crossed.
Yeah.
You're absolutely right.
And they could have, and it doesn't matter, the outward demeanor could be a positive or bubbly, it doesn't matter, but I learned it very young, that is the default stance. Stay away.
Oh, you're absolutely right. Every woman that I can think of that's their default position, I've probably had the same thought about them at some point, which is, man, she needs to get fucked.
Or not even, yeah, or just don't trust them. That's all I'm saying.
Because some of these people out here, they're uptight like that. They all they need is some good sex, man. They just
I guess. I mean, maybe that's how they wear the flag, you know. And it's like they just walk around like that with the arms crossed. But yeah, that is solid advice. I'm gonna give my son that advice someday. You better not be bringing home a girl who walks with her arms crossed. Like, you know, you gotta lose her. And
watch out for those women with their arms crossed all the time.
Not only does she walk with her arms crossed, I think I saw her face on a billboard, son. That's funny.
Oh, God. So she's,
that's two strikes. She's a school teacher, so you better call up Uncle Andre and
No, don't call Uncle Andre, because Uncle Andre is going to tell you, no, don't stay away from that. That's the one you need to work on, because the moment you get in there and let her know, you know, what it feels like, that's when you open Pandora's box, if you know what I'm saying.
That's what you need.
Hey!
Those are the ones they need to dig. They need the stick big time. Those are the ones that need it the most. That's their problem. They just need some good stuff. I was laughing because there's women in my past that I'm thinking of. There's a woman at work right now that I'm thinking of that walks like that. And,
and I deal with the public, so I see it. And that is, to me, that is a telltale sign that this is going to be trouble. And it might not be immediate trouble, but it's going to be trouble. That you know, first sign of trouble type trouble, right? Like everything's great until the first sign of trouble, and then it all goes south. But that's just something I learned, and I want to help people. That's why we do this show.
Yes,
it's not the 20 bucks you make every 18 months.
No, those are the ones that the first time you make a joke in the break room or something that everyone is laughing at, those are the ones that are going to management and saying, I don't like this joke that they told. I think it creates a hostile environment.
I'm not going so far to say that this is automatically like Karen territory. It's not quite that way.
I need to talk to the manager.
It doesn't have to be exactly that way, but there is something. Right, there's something in that guarded, closed, get away from me look that just is not. First of all, it's not attractive. I learned to watch for that.
No, I like that. That's good. I think it ties in actually with my last point about. Mental. That sounds like just bad mental space. Just someone that needs to, you know, probably go talk to a professional or something like that. Seriously, some of us need that and won't admit it. And that's all that is consigning yourself to a lifetime of being angry and disappointed. And that's not good. Who wants that, right? So that's my last point. I'll be running over the live portion.
We'll be into the after show here in a moment.
Yes, because I'm much more long-winded than you, as you were pointing out, and my points go on a lot longer than yours, but that's who I am. That's who we are.
Yours had more room for discussion.
I had a lot of examples for all of mine that I was going back in my mind and going, oh, man, I remember all these things that I've gone through, and that taught me these lessons that led me up to where I am now. So, and I wanted to get in some of those individual lessons just to point out and emphasize my point and where I was going with all of these. So that's all I'm trying to do is provide a fuller picture of my experiences and why I've arrived and where I've arrived on some of these things. So, to listen to this podcast, there's this whole episode after we go off the air live, come back to this show page, blogtalkradio.com/inmuchlessdetail, and go through our archives. The show will be listed up there. This is Kings of Non-Sequitur Hard Truths is the name of this show, and all of our other past shows, all 400 plus shows, they're there in the archives. And if you subscribe on Apple Podcasts, iTunes, or any number of different apps, all our shows should be there as well. And hey, if they're not there, shoot us an email and we'll do a little investigating and see which one of these sites are not doing what they're supposed to do. Our email address is inmuchlessdetail.blogspot.com if you want to shoot us a note for that or any other reason. But now getting to my last point about mentals, just nothing more important. There's nothing more important than taking care of your mentals. Nothing at all. Because if your mentals are bad, you're no good to yourself. You're no good to your loved ones. You're no good to your family. You're no good to your coworkers. You're no good to anybody if your mental space is not being taken care of. And that's on a professional level, or just if it's just you working on yourself. Whatever you got to do to make sure that your mentals are handled, you must take care of yourself first. No one else is obligated to look out for you. That's a real hard truth, unfortunately. Nobody else is. We're all trying to take care of ourselves, man. This world is so damn hard. Not just this society, and not just this culture. It's all over the world. Everything is difficult. Unless you're one of the one percenters and you got everything mapped out for you, it's hard. Life is hard. You have to make sure that you're doing okay by yourself and for yourself, because you can't rely on anybody else to take care of you. You have to take care of you. I go back to, unfortunately, the all the kids that got slaughtered in Uvalde, Texas, several weeks ago. And when that story came out, I believe it was the day after we had our last podcast, as a matter of fact, because we probably would have talked about that instead of the abortion, or yeah, in addition to the abortion. It was right after, the very next day. We did it on a Monday night, and then the shooting happened on a Tuesday. And I remember going out of my way to avoid news stories and to avoid doom-scrolling Twitter and reading about it. I didn't want to deal with it, man, because if you really sit there and think about, you know, dozens of school children, however, it was 20 kids, I believe, 19? Getting 19 kids and
I only know
several
that
teachers,
number because it gets repeated all the time.
Because it was in the news everywhere. And I just did my best to avoid it because I had to watch out for myself. I could not get caught up in thinking about that. If you really think about that many kids being killed, that's horrible. That's so disgusting and depressing. And I couldn't do it. I had to make sure that I avoided all of that. And another part about that is, look, man, the people that could pass laws in this country to make something like that way, way, way less likely to happen, because we're the only country that this shit happens regularly, those mass shootings like that. The people that could do something about that, they're not stressing. They're fine. You know, all those policies, all those lawmakers that could do something about that.
Those kids that are theirs are all guarded and protected. And
their kids will never be a part of something like that because they're protected, like you said. They're in schools and situations where no one's walking up in there with a gun. So they don't have any worries. You know what they did that night? While all of us were doom scrolling and watching the news and reading about that, they were having steak dinner at the Palm. They were fine. They were having sirloin. Yeah. They went to bed. They went to sleep. They didn't have any problem sleeping. They were fine. The people that can do something about that are fine. They're not doing anything about that. I refuse to take on the stress of something like that when the people that could change something like that are fine. I can't change that. If I could, I would, but I can't. And I refuse to take on the pressure and the stress of thinking about something that horrifying and that disgusting when the people that could do something to greatly reduce the chance of that happening refuse to do something about that. And they're not stressing it. They are absolutely fine.
Would these be the same people that we were talking about in the first hour?
All of this that blends in and mixes with each other. The people that when they have a chance to do something and they show you what they will do when they get the power and that what they will do is nothing.
Nothing.
When they show you who they are,
because
believe them the first time.
The problem with solving the problem is if you solve too many problems, it forces people to then vote and donate money on their own self-interests, right? And they can't have us doing that. They can't have people actually involved in the process determined to make their lives better. They actually have to have people involved voting on what they call the hot button topics and we know what they are, right?
Of course.
That's all that's left to keep people divided about.
Well, that Second Amendment might be about as divisive as the abortion issue or close
to
it.
Yeah.
And they keep that rolling. They will never give that up. So no matter how much sense it makes to greatly reduce the access to AR-15s and things of that nature, we won't do it. We got the power to do it. We got the ability to do it. We just choose not to.
I mean, I'm not one of these people I'm not a gun nut or any of that stuff. And I firmly understand why there is a Second Amendment. I'm not one of these get rid of it type people, like abolish the Second Amendment. People should have the right to self-determination, self-preservation, self-defense. I'm fine with that, but you got to make it harder. Didn't we talk about this during the abortion show where, like, let's just make both of those as equally hard to do, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, if I've got to wait 72 hours and do all this stuff and get a mental health check before I can buy a gun, why don't you have to wait 72 hours to get a mental health check before you get an abortion?
I don't know.
It seems to make sense, right?
A lot of that would make sense, just rolling into each other and just...
When we were done with that show, you and I had the whole problem solved. Probably.
We don't make the laws.
We don't make the... Right. We're also not getting any money for any of this. We don't have lobbyists filling our pockets to vote against our own beliefs and our own interests because we're not bought and paid for. Now,
that's where you just hit it on the button right there.
Yeah, email us after the show. Let us know where you can. We'll let you know where you can send the checks if you want to start buying us. You know,
Look, man, there are people out there that have blogs and podcasts and stuff that are just getting money thrown at them by normal people.
Oh, yeah.
And
yeah.
I'm like, how does that work? You just throw your information out there and say, give us money, and people do? Okay. Well, you know what? Our PayPal, inmuchlessdetail@gmail.com. Go ahead and send us whatever you want to send us for whatever reason.
If all of a sudden we had a sponsor, right? And there were some zeros attached to this show, but we weren't allowed to do and say certain things. Hey, things change, right?
You know what that's called? Being a broadcaster.
I guess. That's why we're podcasters. We're podcasters, not broadcasters.
Well, same thing. All of them have to make the decision, okay, I'm taking money, but I can't say X, Y, and Z. What decision do I make? Which way do I want to go? And
should totally try to figure out the process, try to get ourselves like a media day pass for the Super Bowl. And
oh, Lord.
You know, fill out the ALBA forms and stuff like that. Hey, we've got a podcast that's been on the air for 10 years.
Yeah, we're media.
We're media.
We deserve the credentials just as much as some of these other clowns out here. Hey, there's Morning Zoo guy with his face on the billboard. He's got a credential. He's media. What has he done to deserve it?
No, that would be just beyond hysterical.
It would.
Or something like
but
that.
But there's people there. There's people there at the Super Bowl that are about as experienced with the media as we are.
That are from
the read about them.
Sphere, yes.
So they're there.
Two guys with computers and microphones and headsets. It's funny because I listen to other podcasts, and I got to say, this isn't so much the quality of what we're doing, but the quality of our audio, we're not that bad.
No.
I listen to some podcasts where it sounds like a guy is sitting in a gymnasium or in a bathroom or there gets the underwater effect or the audio drops. So it's not just us. I mean, we feel like it's just us when it's happening to us. But now I've listened to plenty of podcasts where there are plenty of technical snafus during the show. And you know what? I keep listening.
Yeah, if you like the content, you keep listening.
Fact, I empathize, if anything, you know.
Right. But yeah, that's my thing about that's a Kings of Non Sequitur that we went all the way around the world. Getting back to mental health and why I think that's so important. Like I said, with all they happened, I couldn't deal with it. I didn't want to deal with it. And I know that the people that could change that don't deal with it, and they're busy eating steak. So I'm certainly not going to take on that stress if they're not.
And not only eating steak, but cashing in on it.
Absolutely. Eating steak with the NRA lobbyist that is paying them to not have a situation where those guns are being outlawed or anything is being restricted. So, yeah, they're right in bed, literally in bed with some of those people. And I'm certainly not going to get stressed out about it if they're not. I talk about the my time staying at the Stone Psychiatric Institute at Northwestern University in Chicago many years ago. God, I would be 19 years ago at this point.
You got a shout out to them, or
I talk about it openly because there shouldn't be a stigma to it. I had that situation where relationships were driving me literally crazy, and somebody decided I needed to go take care of that, like, for real, not just talk to a counselor, but it was actually a counselor I was talking to who saw that I wasn't eating and was had that faraway look in my eye and was like, you need to go get professional help. You need to go to the ER and get yourself checked in there. And yeah, it happened. I mean, it was very important at that time in my life that I did that. I learned some coping mechanisms in there, and I learned how to deal with stress a lot better, and I learned not to let women affect me to that point where I'm stressed out and can't eat and can't sleep and need medication to go to sleep and stuff like that. I had to take care of my mentals. Nothing was more important than my mentals. And I also realized after I got out of there why I needed why women were driving me that crazy, because I needed that from them. I needed that love and attention from them that I wasn't getting, that I hadn't gotten ever since my mother passed away when I was 10. And all those years I was looking for that in those women. And I finally, after 20 years, figured it out and realized that I had to give that to myself. I couldn't go to all those women looking for the love and affection and attention and acceptance and forgiveness that I needed. I needed all that from myself, and I needed to give it to myself. I couldn't rely on all these women to do that for me. I really don't think I would have been ready to meet and date and marry my wife if I would have met her before I spent that week in the psych ward, because I hadn't come to that realization yet that I was putting all my stuff on women and putting all my acceptance and everything about me on women and not accepting and loving myself first, which is the most important thing that I had to do. I had to learn to do that. And it's funny. I thought about this.
Do you know what you learned?
What's that?
That the only common thing in all your failed relationships is you.
There it is. It all comes full circle. That's right. Something I was thinking about, if my wife were to cheat on me, if my wife were to do what Carrie the Heartbreaker did to me, which is have a whole secret website with a whole secret sex life and a secret girlfriend and all this bullshit.
Oh, man.
This is some of the things that go through my mind every now and then. If I actually found out that my wife was cheating on me and was unfaithful and whatnot, this is the difference now with my mentals now as opposed to back then. I'm not saying I would be okay with it, but my actual first thought and reaction when I thought about that was, well, I hope she would be happy. I hope she would be getting joy out of whatever she was doing. I really would be, my first reaction was, I hope she's doing something that brings her joy, because I want her to be happy, because I love her and care about her. But I'm never going to get to that point again where I let a woman doing what she does affect me. I have to look out for my mentals, and I have to protect myself above everything else. And if my wife did do something like that, I would be, hey, hope you're enjoying it, and hasta la vista. And that's it. I can't let anyone else affect me, because, again, going back, all the way back to my first point, no one is obligated to take care of me and my mentals. Only I can take care of me and my mentals. And my big point for anyone listening is You're just one person, just like everyone else. You can't let someone else have more value than you. You have to make sure that you're number one, and that other person is, they're number one in their minds. They're going to take care of themselves. Believe me, they're going to make sure they're okay before you. You have to make sure that you're okay before anyone else. And, you know, opinions and feelings that other people have and exchanging of opinions and feelings, that is wonderful. There is nothing wrong with any of that. The problem is some of us let other people's opinions and desires overlay our own. Don't ever let anyone don't ever let anyone else's thoughts and opinions and desires and needs and wants overlay yours, because you have to take care of you. Yeah. No one else is obligated to take care of you.
I mean, how many times have I said on this show that social media is the devil?
I wasn't going to social media necessarily.
That's part of it that because I was just thinking about that as you were talking about that, and, you know, and the people who, you know, they need that validation, or they need something, you know, all the people who don't need something to love, they need something to hate. All their self-worth is wrapped up in those things. And you talked about it with Evaldi or any of these things, or the abortion debate, right? How many people have just completely, lost their shit?
Yeah, just going through Twitter on any in the last 3 weeks between Uvalde, the abortion, and the January 6th hearings, going through Twitter in the last three, is just nothing but doom scrolling. It's just bad news after bad news, and
it's
God,
outrage of the day, right? That's what Twitter has just become now. What is the thing that I need to be outraged about today? What is the algorithm determined will run my life?
And it's all because of passions and people's passions getting inflamed about things. And, you know, you get passionate about stuff. That's what, you know, you're a human, so that's understandable, but you got to take care of your mentals. You can't let it overcome you. You can't let it consume you. If you feel like it's consuming you, you got to get away. You got to walk away from it and put the phone down, turn the computer off, whatever you got to do, go to the lake and look at the water. Go to, you know, if you don't live near a lake or a body of water, go to your backyard and look at the grass. Yep. Just do something, or have a hobby. Don't be like Harry and say, I have no hobbies. Have a hobby. Don't do something that brings you joy and takes your mind off of, you know, going back around to that again. Get away. Get your mind off of the bad news and all the bad stuff, and take care of yourself, because no one else will. So that's my big thing about mental.
That's good advice. That's good advice.
Thank you.
That's some good stuff.
It's a lot of stuff, a lot of personal stuff, a lot of stuff. But I really feel like there's a lot of people out there that don't talk about things and experiences because they might be shy, they might be embarrassed, might be ashamed of things that's happened, things they've gone through. They just very private, don't want to talk about any of those things. So I almost feel like it's a service that, since I don't have any shame and since I will talk about anything, that I should talk about anything and everything and share my experiences, because that might help out somebody.
And
there's
now
one person that listened that got helped out by that.
That's what I was
going
to say. Now
great.
That it's committed to the record and it's out there in the universe, and all it takes is that one person to listen to this show to have that speak to them.
That's a hey. Maybe I'm in a situation where I'm not taking care of myself and I'm trying to cater to this person's needs and always demurring and deferring to them. I got to take care of me. I got to look out for number one. Because
hopefully that
just
speaks to them better than our some of our sports picks or you know, some of the other things that we talk about on this show.
Hopefully. But did you have any more hard truths that you wanted to share?
No, I had those two because I knew those were solid gold. So I knew I had two really strong ones.
All right.
And those popped up into my head right away because, you know, some of those are things that's just like just words I live by, you know, or things I've seen that I always deal with. So none that I prepared. Other, so I didn't write anything down because that's not my way.
Yeah.
I write down very little, if people haven't noticed, for this show. I should commit to doing more, but then I would be like you. And, you know, we got to have the whole, like, yin and yang thing going on here, like, with our, you know, with our football picks, you know, with you're all the heavy research, and I'm more of the field guy. But at the rate, it's been working for you. You've beaten my ass a bunch of years in a row. You know, but I've got the secret weapon this year.
Uh-oh.
I'm off Sundays again.
Wow.
So I will actually be able to commit myself to watching games.
What a concept.
It's amazing, the thing that we do every week. I will actually be able to sit down on a Sunday, and I'm not saying that I will watch every Sunday from kickoff of the first game until the end of Sunday night football, but, I mean, I'm sure I will week one, you know.
Believe me, I understand. You're married with two children. That's not realistic that you'll be able to do that.
I'm not going to blame them, but my success in my picks has definitely been down since I had more distraction going on. You know, but it never really helped. This last season, I had no help because not only do I work on Sundays, they took all our TVs away from us.
Yeah, that sucks.
So that made it really hard. So that was me trying to watch Red Zone on Sling kind of in between things, and it just didn't work. I mean, it worked enough. As I love me some NFL Red Zone, but there is still something for sitting down and watching a game, you know, an in-market or out-of-market, just sitting down and watching a football game. Because, yeah, you might not get to watch every team every week. It won't feel like when I had the package. That's kind of my heyday, you know, and I could just flip. I mean, I was the Red Zone. but there's still something to be said that you still get that little bit of flavor for every team. You know, and even if I am obviously I'm in Wisconsin, so it's all Packer games, I'm still seeing the teams they're playing. So every week, you just get more knowledge, right? You might not get to see every team, but then you always have your highlights, and you can watch your highlight packages. But highlight packages don't even always tell you the whole story.
No, certainly.
Because you can see a touchdown and then miss completely the fact that it was the only reason they got the touchdown was because of some, like, bullshit penalty.
Right.
You know?
No, as you know, watching the whole game is the only way you're going to get the whole feel of, okay, this team is playing as a full unit, and they actually look like they're well-coached, and all these plays that they're pulling off, they're not, you know, running like it's a Chinese fire drill, which I don't know if you can say that anymore either, but I just did.
I'll allow it.
Okay, thank you. It definitely makes a difference.
Not the person you're going to for these things, but...
Yeah, you'll allow everything.
Everything, but most things.
But, yeah, it definitely makes a difference watching a game as opposed to watching the highlights. And I definitely enjoy watching full games and seeing, you know, teams that it makes a difference when they come out and look like they're world beaters for the first 15 plays, the scripted plays, and then after that, everything just goes to shit. And it's like, oh, okay, I see what happened there. They had their... They had a scripted game plan, and then after that, they were complete garbage. And
so, pretty much, any
Mike Jaguars, how you doing?
Team. Mike Holmgren.
Yeah,
that was his move.
Yeah, it really was. It makes a difference. Although, when you say that you can get to watch the games now and ostensibly be more knowledgeable, it makes me think about the fact that I think my best week picking last year was the
last
week that I was in Cancun. And didn't see any of the games.
Yeah, but
I don't know.
I last year for me was the most kind of disconnected I felt from my picks.
Hmm.
You know, like I was picking and I was, you know, they weren't all bad. It's not like I had a disaster season. And if I hadn't gotten COVID and switched all of my picks that way, when it was desperation time, I might have been okay.
Yeah.
But it didn't work out. That sucked, being laid up during the playoffs like that and barely even getting – I mean, I was watching like 10 or 15 minutes of a game, and then I was just out, you know. And even when I was watching those little bits, I wasn't really lucid. Like the Buffalo-Kansas City game, I missed the whole thing.
Yeah.
I mean, so I've only gotten to experience that in highlights, and that's – it's great in the highlights, but, God, I can't imagine – what that was like. Could you imagine being there?
Oh, no, I really couldn't.
It
would
have
been
like, I mean, I've been some
electric.
I've been in some pretty kind of hype places for sporting events, right? I've seen some pretty cool things live and in person. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I've been to some crazy Cub games. I've been to some, I've been to playoff football, game, you know, like actual playoff football, nothing like that though.
Yeah,
what that had to have been like to just to witness in person, just the ups and the downs and the back and the forth, and it looks like it's over, then it's not over, just, you know. And they changed the rules because of that game, didn't they?
They did. Once again, the overtime, the Peyton Manning rule wasn't enough where you made it, Peyton Manning didn't touch the ball, so now we got to make it where either you score a touchdown or the other team gets a chance. And now we had this game where Josh Allen, did he touch the ball in overtime or?
No.
No. So now we got to make it where it's, what did they do exactly? Is it, they took away the whole, if you score a touchdown, you win automatically?
Yeah, I think if the other team scores a touchdown, you still get a chance to score a touchdown.
Right.
They
took away
where a touchdown, then it's
sudden death or something.
Sudden death. Okay.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously, that only matters for the postseason. I can care less about the regular season.
Yeah, I don't care either. You can have ties.
Safety, all that nonsense. Yeah, you want to play your 10 minutes and whatever, or the other team. You know, I have always been of the thought that if you want to play by those rules and keep it fair that way, then you should not have a coin toss for overtime. You should just let the road team get the ball first.
Shit, fine by me.
Why? Why would you ever leave it to a coin toss if the road team, who is usually quote unquote the underdog more often than not, right?
Yeah.
Earns a tie at the end of regulation. Hey, just like baseball, right? Let the visitors go first. then that takes away any of it. Takes away the coin toss, takes away all the randomness, the 50-50. You just know you go to overtime, the other team's getting the ball first.
And with the new rule, it's widely acknowledged or common knowledge or thought that now everyone that wins the toss in overtime is going to defer and give the ball up because you want to see if the other team scores a touchdown.
Right. Yeah.
And if they don't, then you know if you score a touchdown, you win. So you take that air of mystery away.
So that's why I don't even think the coin toss should be a thing. I don't even know if you should have a coin toss before the game. It's dumb. Kick off to the visitors, right?
You could do that in the NBA. You could just start with the with the road team getting the ball out of bounds too. You don't have to have a tip off either. So
Oh, I would just put the ball on the 50-yard line and let them have a scrum for the ball like rugby.
Well, no, that's XFL shit. That was
great.
So no, don't do
did
that.
Did they actually do that?
They did. They sure did.
This is the XFL.
That, first of all, it's pretty hilarious making them fight for the ball to start the game. Imagine like when your players gets hurt.
Right. On the pre kickoff scrum or whatever. Yeah.
Okay.
No, it was, yeah, the XFL did that. It was a gimmick, and it was kind of dumb because you watched that as someone who actually watched XFL games when it the first time around.
I think I might have watched the first week. That was most people though.
Yeah, it had a pretty damn good rating that first week. Second week, not so much.
Yeah. Like the apple?
Laugh. Yeah, I watched that scrum, and it's like, this is how you're starting a game? Really? Okay. And what it did was it served to sort of fire up the sort of the bloodthirsty in the crowd, the fans that wanted to see the blood and guts and the violence, and
yeah,
it fed into them and made them pop them for about 5 seconds. But for most everybody else watching, it was like, what is this? This looks really dumb. Okay, so I wasn't a fan of that.
I've always thought that the NFL is missing the boat by not having minor league. A minor league system of some kind that could work.
Well, the problem is they have it. It's called college, and all those kids that are
you know what I mean. I'm talking about all those practice squad type guys, or all those UDFAs that you put all those guys together in a season that runs concurrently, like with the NFL teams, right? Maybe it only runs for 12 weeks during then. And then you have, like with the NFL, you get your, like, December call-up. You know, you can expand your roster by a couple of guys or something.
I agree in general. I just know it won't happen because they have the minor league feeder system that they want, which is college, which is all the unpaid labor. They,
unpaid? Are you sure?
They might be able to get $100 here and there now, more if they can.
But they better not be getting crab legs.
Oh, can't do that. Can't get a ham sandwich.
Or they better not use their images and likenesses or whatever the phrase is that they talk about. Oh my God.
Yeah, the NIL is going to ruin everything because the players might actually be compensated, and God forbid that's the end of the world, right? No, this is the perfect system for the NFL because they don't have to pay for any of that shit. All the colleges have to pay for the training, the weights, the coaching, all of that. The NFL has nothing to do with it. And then they institute the rule that you can't come into the NFL until after your third year of college. And that's just it's a perfect system for the NFL because it absolves them of all responsibility. So it's awesome for them.
I just think that there's money to be had if there was a system and you could do it with like 8 teams – and it's just the feeder system or practice squad type players from all these other teams, right? So they're still playing. They're still getting practice. You still have rosters put together, right? You don't have to make them maybe as voluminous rosters, because these are your practice guys. Don't really care if they get hurt. You can probably get away with like a 45 or 48-man roster. You can probably trim the rules down a little bit. And you can plop this in cities that are NFL hungry, right? And you could, I'm calling Roger Goodell. Put my name on that. I think that would be successful only for the fact that it would be branded, stamped, approved. Anything that the NFL puts its shield on will be a moneymaker. That's the problem that you have with all of these other leagues is they're getting the players who aren't even good enough to be on the NFL practice squads.
Yeah, I think I agree with you in general. It's just that the liability, the NFL,
if you send the guy off to the camp thing and he goes and he gets destroyed, right?
Now you got to pay for his medical the rest of your life and pay for his brain surgery and all of that.
Hurting for money.
But the NFL is all about protecting the money they have and avoiding liability. That is all that is the best thing that they do more than anything else is they know how to avoid liability and protect their assets and protect their money.
I also cannot wait till we can finally get a show where we get some clarity and some resolution to this whole Deshaun Watson thing. Cause we're almost into July and boy, they're dragging this one out, aren't they?
I was just watching on ESPN this morning, and apparently whatever this collectively bargained punishment that's going to go down, that's in the middle of being decided now, but might not be decided for weeks still. So that process has started.
They cannot let this drag into the season, can they?
You wouldn't think so, but if the arbitrator that's going to decide the punishment takes all the way up until into July, that's going to be a problem, because whatever she decides, Deshaun Watson is going to immediately appeal, and then however long that takes, you are risking it going into pathway.
The worst case scenario for all parties is that we get through week two and the Browns are 2-0 and Deshaun Watson's got like 8 TDs and 1 pick. And then, oh, by the way, you just got a 20 game ban.
I'm with you. I cannot imagine them allowing him to start the season and then deciding to give him the 1 year rip after it starts. I can't see.
I'm feeling a year.
I am too. But that's mostly because that's what I've been reading on the internet, is most people's opinion is that it's going to be a year.
Then it must be true.
But some of those people are getting leaked from the actual NFL sources.
Right, but that's
sources.
Just my sense is that, when you think, it's funny because they'll talk about like they equate it to the Calvin Ridley thing.
Yeah, same thing, exact same thing. Betting $1,000 on sports versus molesting 25 masseuses.
Yeah, that we know about, that have actually
that spoke up, right?
Yeah.
Oh, man, might be 60 more waiting out there.
Well, 20 of them settled, so we're down to 5 now.
All but 4, I believe, yeah.
But then I think after that happened, another one came forward.
Another one added their names, so now it's 5. Yeah.
Yeah, someone else threw their hat in the ring. I think we're down to either 4 or 5 now.
We didn't talk about that when it happened, which all my thought about that is, why the fuck didn't you start selling when this shit first started, man? Why do you wait till now? You knew you did,
and
just pay him.
Maybe isn't it a new allegation, or one of the 4 remaining actually filed a lawsuit directly against the Houston Texans.
Yeah, that's the other part that's going to be possibly nasty, is what part did the Texans play in giving out non-disclosure agreements and trying to keep all this hush-hush back when they thought they could control this situation?
Now you're tarnishing the shield, right?
I didn't touch those women. I ain't tarnishing shit. I'm just saying.
No. I'm saying that's what the allegation is. You're not just going after the player now. You're going after the team.
The team. The actual organization and making it an organizational thing.
That's where you're tarnishing the shield. You're not doing it.
Oh, okay.
Texans are the ones who were most likely doing it.
That shouldn't surprise anyone, because by all accounts, the Texans are about the only organization besides the Commanders that are even shittier in the front office and the way they handle things. And those are the two that are under investigation, and rightfully so, because they are both trash organizations.
Yeah, so it'll be interesting when we get to finally unpack that, and not just from a morality play standpoint, which is awful, but once you start to break down the X's and O's, and God, there's still rumors that they're going to just trade Baker, because you can't go back to him.
That relationship would seem to be about as bad as Aaron Rodgers and the Packers, and yet there's Aaron Rodgers back with the Packers, so I don't know.
But Aaron Rodgers is good.
True, but the Browns think Baker's kind of good.
The Browns do not need Baker.
No. But the fact that they have him.
Honestly, I don't want to be like the guy, but if Deshaun Watson gets, a year and they've moved on from Baker, replacement guy A could be just as good leading that team as Baker Mayfield.
Replacement guy A, in this case being, I believe, Jacoby Brissett? Old Jack Brisket.
Oh, maybe not.
you want to rethink that
Baker
statement?
So Baker, we know it's a shitty situation, but at least we're building up your value if you keep playing. you're still getting paid, right? You can play yourself into a better deal. We'll give you a really sweet sign and trade. Oh, please, Baker.
The only hard truth we can take out of that situation at the moment is don't draft Deshaun Watson in your fantasy leagues. They had a feeling he's not going to play for you.
Yeah, unless it's a keeper league and draft
him. Not this year. If it's this year, if it's 1 year only, don't draft Deshaun Watson. I don't think you're going to get much value out of that.
Yeah, but if it's a dynasty league, eh, you might want to think about it.
Maybe.
Yeah, you might be keeper level. I mean, if you could roll into next year with Deshaun Watson on that team, I honestly, all of the, you know, character flaws aside, I mean, if he's healthy going into this season and he's got the practice, and I mean, that they're Super Bowl contenders.
No, they are. That's the big if.
That team has been loaded for 3 years.
That's why the Haslams gave him $230 million guarantee, because they think
he's
the last piece.
So if he gets suspended, does he still get paid?
I think so. It's guaranteed. That's if it's not guaranteed, if he doesn't, you got to reevaluate the definition of the word guaranteed.
Well, I don't know how that works. If you, I mean, if
it's
you have
guaranteed.
A guaranteed contract, but you get suspended for something like that, if they're still going to pay your salary for this, if you're still a cap hit, all that stuff. I don't know how that works, because we don't see this very often.
Cap situations, I definitely can't speak to that. I have no idea about how all that works. But his money is his money. I really don't think the NFL can do anything about that.
So you did all that stuff. You wrecked your franchise. Now they're getting sued. And you just sit there and, you know.
And you keep denying it, even though your lawyer said, well, he might have done it, but it's not illegal. So which is
still
it?
You still get to count all those fat stacks.
Yeah.
That's
not going to change.
A lot of hush money he just got.
To me, that's another, and I already mentioned it when we were talking about it earlier this spring, but that's one of the hidden interesting parts of the whole development, the whole giving him that much guaranteed money, is that's the most guaranteed money by a mile that anyone's ever given an NFL player. And now the precedent is there. And so if you're Justin Herbert and you're looking at the Chargers when your contract comes up and they don't want to guarantee all your money, if you're Joe Burrow after what he just did for that Cincinnati Bengals franchise and his contract comes up and you go, well, I can't guarantee your whole contract. What do you think, you're Deshaun Watson? I can't do that. What? So that's the thing to me, is the precedent that guaranteed contract said, like, all these young guys that are about to have their contracts come up and obviously need to be, you know, signed by their team and kept by their team. You don't go through drafting Joe Burrow or Justin Herbert or any of these other young hot guys, and you don't do that just to say, well, we're going to just let you walk because you want too much guaranteed money. You can't do that. But can you guarantee $300, $400, $500 million? That's the deal now. The 100% guarantee for Deshaun Watson.
I mean, Mahomes got a half a bill, and I don't know how much of that was guaranteed. I'm guessing a chunk.
I'm sure it was a chunk, but it was, sure the hell wasn't 100%. It wasn't anywhere near that.
Yeah, I mean, and Patrick Mahomes isn't going to just be up and cut any day soon, but stranger things have happened.
Yeah, you wouldn't think so, but that's the point of not guaranteeing it, is if he breaks his leg and can't play for 2 years, they are going to cut his ass because it's the NFL.
That's true. You could do an Alex Smith.
Oof.
Or RG3.
No one's wishing that on Patrick Mahomes, by the way.
Or RG3, just collapse under your own weight.
Yeah. Yeah, stuff happens, absolutely. Yeah, we got a little football in there.
We are a sports, ostensibly sports podcast.
It's so hard to talk about sports in the middle of summer because it's just there's nothing going on. It's baseball, and that's about it. The NBA draft happened.
Which I pay no attention to. There was a trade apparently in the NBA, and I realized I might want to watch just a little bit more NBA because there was some trade today that was announced. And I had no idea who the players were that were traded. Like, I've never heard of either of you guys. One of them was like a franchise record holder for one of the teams for how many threes they've – I've never heard of you. Never heard of these guys in my life.
Well, it's you know, you get to a point in your life where things just aren't as important. You know, we kept up with all this stuff when we were younger because sports was really huge, and now
yeah.
you know, we got families
yeah.
and you know, things more important, jobs and whatnot. And you know,
it was also very easy to keep up with basketball because you're watching the Bulls, and they were good.
That's a long time ago.
But I mean, that's what we grew up with. We basically
yeah.
grew up with the Jordan Bulls.
That's true. But yeah, it's DeJounte Murray, I believe is how you pronounce his name,
yeah,
from the Spurs.
No idea.
All-star last year. He came out of nowhere. I'd never heard of him before last year. I know that much.
But you heard of him more than I did.
Well,
so I don't know if I will resolve myself to watching more NBA just because it's just like, I don't know. I have to resolve myself to watch more football this year because we have an NBA podcast. I would resolve myself to watch more NBA. And we do talk a little bit of basketball on here, and I try not to embarrass myself.
Do you have any access at all to NFL Network, like if you
yeah.
wanted to? Because they're probably playing that Buffalo-Kansas City game on repeat all the way up until the season begins.
I've seen the whole highlight package. I mean, I've seen what I needed to see, and it was insane. Plus, the way you talked about it.
Oh, it was an experience. It was
yeah.
one of the most entertaining games I've ever seen. There's no doubt about that. I probably called it the best game or one of the greatest games I've ever saw at the time that it happened. So yeah, if you wanted to sit there and get the atmosphere of the whole thing from beginning to end, then yeah, check out the whole game pod, the whole game cast of it. But yeah, you've seen the highlights, and yeah, that does give you most of the gist of what it was about. But no, sitting through the whole thing was that was an experience.
Right, and it's just the sort of the cherry on top of the sundae that you built from the ground up that has been your complete turnaround on the career of Josh Allen.
He's the man.
Just from where he started through the progression, you know, and how much we made fun of him, and it's just like, and now, I mean.
He's a fucking ass kicker. I cannot possibly.
Top five.
I can't deny it.
Top five. I mean, he's one of the best quarterbacks in the league. I mean, I'm not going to rank them, but if you were, you know, he's up there. He's damn
yeah.
good. And that game, what you were watching, because we talked about that when we talked about the game, you weren't watching bad defense. You were watching a masterclass of playing quarterback.
Watching precision quarterback playmaking, not just plays, not just throws, but making plays, making shit that's not there. Just
yeah.
so you get me all excited now. We're in June talking football.
Yeah,
And
you're ready. Hey, you know,
think back
to
that game. Oh my God,
what are we? How far? We can't be but 6 weeks away from Hall of Fame.
Mm-hmm. Yep, camp's around the corner.
I mean, what weekend is that? Hope that's not the week I'm on vacation.
Usually the first weekend in September, right?
And no, August, right? NFL
yeah,
Hall
August,
of Fame game 2022. Jacksonville. Ooh.
Yeah, I won't be watching the game itself, but yeah, the weekend is usually that first weekend in August.
Raiders Jaguars Hall of Fame game Thursday, August 4th. And I am, this is funny, because I am on vacation. I'm out of town on vacation August 7, 8, 9, and 10.
Okay, so,
so
NFL Hall of Infamy will not be happening that weekend.
Well, we could sneak it in maybe. Who's doing NFL this year?
NFL this year has to be me because I'm pretty sure I did
yeah.
baseball last year.
Yeah, I'm thinking so. Hang on here because if we could probably sneak it in on that Saturday night since I don't have to prepare. Right? It's not my show.
That's true. I know I did baseball last year because I had the beginning and end, the twin entries of the Angry Black Men of Albert Bell and Milton Bradley. That means football is me this year.
Yeah, actually, I have it here already. This is how I always will remember. Every time when I do my Hall of Infamy, I change the year of my entry in my notes to the next time I do it. So this year is football for you.
Mm-hmm.
And I have, because I have right here, 2023 Hall of Infamy infamous candidates. So that means I'm doing baseball this year. My baseball list is 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8.
Culling to do.
I don't prepare for much, but I am prepared always for Hall of Fame, Hall of Infamy. When is MLB? MLB, Hall of Fame.
This is the show prep, folks. You're hearing all of our show prep right now.
July 24th. Wow. Okay, that's the week before.
There you go.
So July 24th is a Friday. We're not doing a Friday night show.
No.
But, okay, so I would assume that weekend, July 25th or 26th, that weekend, I'll be doing my base. So that's good, because I got to start getting my stuff together. That's only a month away.
That's right.
So that would basically be us just deciding if we want to throw a show in before those two, because then those two are pretty much back-to-back now.
Yeah, we'll figure that out as in the next couple of weeks.
Yeah, something will happen. Something will come up. We'll go, throw one in there.
I am on another cruise in the middle of July, and so that I will not be around after the whatever the third week in July is. I'll be out on the seas. So
that's the 17th through the 23rd.
Correct. I will be I'll be out and back in town by the 24th.
And the 24th is the induction ceremony for Hall of Fame this year in Cooperstown. So I don't know if you want to come home and be on a show that Sunday night, but it'll be around the 24th. I was actually looking at June. It's a Sunday. It's always a Sunday.
Right.
So, yeah, that's the 24th.
Same theory for me. I could come home that weekend and do the Baseball
Hall
of Fame show because I don't have to prepare for that. So
right. But you know, I'm usually home on Tuesdays or Wednesdays or, you know, in those evenings. So we could always make it. Not like we are being held to any standard or anything. As long as we do it within a couple of days of the event, I think we're okay.
I'm totally fine, by the way, on Sunday the 24th. We're not flying in Sunday. We're flying home Saturday, and then I got Sunday off anyway because I always have Sunday off.
All right.
So I'm available after the 23rd of July.
So I will have to. So I will have to start making my cut list for MLB.
And my cut list for football off the same old envelope that I've kept my nominees for 8 years now.
It's a good list.
Okay.
I mean, they're pretty solid. Some of them are those like head slappers, like how is this guy or whoever not made it in already? And then there's some that are just good, you know, just good, solid, our style Hall of Infamy picks. So, yeah.
Yeah, if you're a fan of our style of storytelling, we always bring the goods.
And yeah, we've hit baseball just as hard, if not harder, than we've hit football on these.
And got a lot more to get to in baseball.
Football is so much more rich as far as what it gives us, because the rosters are so big and there's just so much depravity that we just know about. There's so much more in football. But we'll find it. We're doing pretty good on our baseball side, too.
Yeah, there's plenty more to get to in baseball because we kind of just started that Hall of Infamy. That's only 3-4 years old.
Yeah.
So that's our upcoming schedule, the Hall of Infamy shows. We may have another general show in between that time, but our Baseball Hall of Infamy scheduled for around the weekend of July the 24th, and the Football Hall of Infamy for somewhere around the we'll figure that out. If we want to do it before you go on your vacation or after. So that's still to be determined.
I am completely fine doing a show on that Saturday night before I leave for vacation.
Okay.
And that would be Hall of Fame weekend.
That's the 6th of August.
The 6th. I mean, and I could do it. I mean, honestly, as your show, I could do it Thursday night, Friday night, Saturday night, Wednesday. I don't care. Hall of Fame game is Thursday the 4th. I could do it pretty much any day. Just tell me 9 p.m. I'll be there.
Okay. So there you go.
Just don't do it Sunday the 7th or the 8th, the 9th, or the 10th. I won't be there.
Got it. So that's upcoming schedule.
I had to call into the show once, I think, from a hotel.
And you're trying to avoid ever doing that again.
It was an experience. Glad I say I did it once.
Right. All right. Unless you have something else, I think we're finally done here.
No, that was a good show. We got to a lot. I'm sure there's things we didn't get to. But that's always.
Oh, man. There's so many hard truths and hard facts that we still haven't got to.
We got four minutes before we might get sniped.
I don't
know if you have found this, but I have to find this. It's on YouTube, and it is amazing. I got to find the name of this channel. Bear with me, filibuster for a second or something.
I have not been looking at any YouTube channels. Basically, my YouTube interaction is all wrestling and exercise videos, unfortunately.
Okay. So, you have to find this YouTube channel called The Museum of Chicago Classic Chicago Television.
Ah.
And it is old, like, news broadcasts from, like, when we were growing up.
Yeah.
And it is, and it's, and, or TV shows that were broadcast. A lot of it's, like, 70s and 80s. You want to talk about, like, time capsule type stuff, being that we're Chicago guys, that's the rabbit hole right there.
God, the first name that jumped in my mind when you talk about old Chicago newscasts is Fahey Flynn and his bow ties. Is Fahey Flynn on there?
I don't know, but you go find it. You'll see, you'll remember, like, you'll remember all these people, like people you forgot about.
Mm-hmm.
You're like, oh, man, that you grew up watching. And, it'll all be, Fahey Flynn, there he is.
There you go.
I just looked and it was, here it is, WLS Channel 7 Eyewitness News, 1976. Yeah. And there he is with his bow tie. You'll be very happy to know it's on there.
Can't have old Chicago newscasts without talking about some Fahey Flynn, baby. Come on.
So it's on there. It's funny, as I'm finding the channel and it just starts, auto-playing one of the videos, that's the first thing that showed up. It said Fahey Flynn and John Daly and all those.
I'm sure Ron Majors, Carol Marine, all those old old timers are on there.
Childers, they're all.
Wow.
Yeah. Do yourself a favor.
Yeah.
Because we're Chicago guys, and fall down the rabbit hole that is the Museum of Classic Chicago Television. It's not just worth it for the shows; it's the commercials.
Old
I was sitting through one. Oh yeah, there was like an old episode of Spectre Man on there. You remember Spectre Man? And a whole episode from Channel 60 before it switched over to Channel 50, and there was a College of Automation commercial on there.
Oh, jeez.
And
was that the SUCCE?
It wasn't that one. It was the same phone number, but it wasn't the song. And I won't sing it because I still know it. But it wasn't the song with the success, but that was their phone number.
Okay.
So they said that at the very end, and it. I may have laughed audibly when I saw that. So, that I'm glad I was able to get that in for you. Do yourself a favor. Yeah. Go find that, and, you know, while you're doing nothing.
Because well, I have no hobbies at all. None.
Right. Correct.
Nothing at all. Oh, I should have known. Oh, anyway. There you go. That's for the old Chicago heads out there. That's good. That's a good one. All right. Now I believe we're finished.
Now
we're done. Now we're done. All right. He is Jay. I am Dre. This has been Kings of Non Sequitur, the off-season version of In Much Less Detail, the podcast. I was just about to hit the outro music and my board disappeared because our show is in the after show. So no music, unfortunately, if you came here to listen to old 80s music and go back with the old heads and all the old outro music that I have queued up. You can't hear that, but glad you joined us anyway. Hopefully you got some good stuff out of our hard truths and our hard facts and life lessons. And yeah, we probably could go another six or seven, each of us, at least. But we cut it where we did, and hopefully there's some good stuff in there. So yeah, that's our schedule in the future. Toward the end of July, weekend of the 23rd, we'll have the Baseball Hall of Infamy brought to you by Jay. And in the weekend of August the 6th, we will have the Football Hall of Infamy brought to you by me. And before then, we may have another show that we stick in there somewhere after the All-Star break, I guess it would be. So we'll see. If not, then those are the next two shows that you will hear from us. Hopefully you enjoyed tonight's show, and we will talk to you down the road.